This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is August 16th. It's a Wednesday. We're here to talk about AEW Dynamite. I'm not alone. As always on Wednesdays, I'm joined by my co-host, Righteous Reg. Reg, how are you, man?
In the building, it's your boy, Media Man, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. Was very afraid that I was going to be booted out of this like last week. I was like, what's going to happen here? Is this video going to kick me off? Or will I be able to exist here in this space? But here I am, Denise. Here we are, Denise, after an interesting Dynamite.
I think that you saying that this episode of Dynamite was interesting is where I want to begin. Because what is your definition of interesting?
I know the part that I thought was interesting and I thought was wild, you're going to like, because it had Denise stamps all over it. It was a Denise stamped match. I'm going to say you dug the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match.
Why am I out on the limb here? Insulted by
what
that,
do you mean?
Reg.
What
I'm
do you
a
mean?
Little bit insulted that you were like, oh, it's got Denise written all over it. You want to know why I'm insulted? Because yes, I did enjoy myself.
See?
But also, it's like the one thing that got severely trashed on Twitter. But I had a good time. We'll get into that in just a second. But I'm insulted, Reg, that you were like, this is really stupid. A lot
no.
of people think this is stupid. Denise is going to love it.
Look, I know what when things are aimed at Denise, I'm like, Jeff Jarrett's here. There's blood. Karen's here. I'm like, yo, Denise is going to love this. It's okay. It's okay.
You know what? I was not prepared for that, Reg, but I will say this. So the best way I was thinking about this, because I was like, I felt very overwhelmed with this episode of Dynamite. And I wonder how the viewers felt. I'm reading your guys' comments as they come through. And throughout this entire show, I was like, oh my God, it was just one thing after another, after another. I sat down, I kid you not, and started to watch Dynamite. And I thought to myself, I need to go to the bathroom. You know what? I'm going to go in the first commercial break. 2 hours later, the show's over. Never went to the bathroom, because it was just like nonstop. Mm-hmm. And the best way that I want to describe this episode is, Reg, have you ever been put to sleep due to a medical procedure?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. You know how they drug you up and they do all these things to you. And when you come back, you're like, you don't even know it's real. You're like half in into reality and half not. That is what this episode of Dynamite felt like to me. I thought I was under some like medically induced freaking sleep where I'm confusing reality and fantasy.
Oh boy. Yes. There was a lot going on, Denise. That's just like Leatherface is here. There's Will Ospreay's here. There's so many interesting and crazy wild moments. We're building the All In. Things are taking shape. They're announcing what exactly the matches are. But then there's some stuff that's just in here that's just like, okay.
And we're 11 days away from All In. And I can't believe we're officially here. I think it still hasn't even hit me that this is going to be like such a crazy show in terms of, you know, seeing all of these people in the building. It's going to be nuts. But
you're going to be out there, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm actually leaving on Tuesday. And so I'm really ready. And what sucks too, though, is that I was expecting to have like a lot of free time in London to like look around. All of a sudden, all these things are being added to my schedule. And I'm like, damn, bro, I ain't going to have any fun. I'm going to go
it's
there and work.
Denise, what did you expect? You know what's going to go on there. You know, everybody's like, oh, Denise is going to be out here. Get her on the line. Get her on the red carpet. Make sure she's out here making us look good, because that's what she does. You're not mad about it, Denise. You know what time it is.
Oh, I need to bring up that. I'm going to bring up something in just a second, because I took my favorite screenshot of Tony Khan ever today.
Oh, Tony was that skit. I was crying. when he came out and he was talking to him, I haven't laughed that hard in a long time, I swear.
I can't wait to get into that. All right, guys, let's get to it. Let's talk about what went down on this episode of AEW Dynamite. I'm going to kick it off because our super chats are rolling in. So let's get to it. Our first one here is from Doppelganger 399, who says, when Adam Cole turns on MJF, the heat will be nuclear. We kind of saw a little tease of that here tonight where Adam Cole kind of started getting a little ready, kind of looked like he was about to freaking super kick MJF. It didn't happen, but you felt it there for a second.
Yeah, I don't know how I felt about it, Denise. I don't, because we got this tag match, right? And so we're all in on this. They just showed this long promo video that we watched. You watched them bond. I don't know if that was the right moment to tease it again. I'll take the tease or the execution at the match, but here in this moment, it didn't feel like it was needed.
I get what you're saying. It did feel a little bit unexpected. We got a super chat here from Chi-Town Spurs who says the Texas Chainsaw match was one of the worst things AEW has produced. I need it every year. It's true. We love a disaster. You ever sit down and watch a really bad reality TV show and think, oh my God, who the hell is wasting their time watching this? And you're sitting there going, this is great stuff.
Yeah, right. You're the one. We're the ones. Everybody's like, it's awful and crazy and there's a lot going on, but it's needed sometimes. When it was happening, I was like, what in the world is going on here? But it's for somebody.
Rafael Garcia says, Joker Sting, a very bad death match. I've missed TNA.
Straight up. That's what it felt like.
And you throw Karen in there. I mean, we're just getting, we got obviously Jeff Jarrett. We're just getting a whole bunch of stuff like that. We got Roberto Arsenal who says, Joker Sting and MJF Cole segment was perfect. Jake Nader 722 says, Texas Chainsaw, it's nice that they're willing to try something new, but personally, it's also nice if they learn from this and never try it again. Darf Steven 77 says Leatherface is all elite. I love the Texas Chainsaw Deathmatch. The Jarretts were perfect in this. We are getting conflicting information here from the people. Uriel Londero sends in a generous super chat saying, yo, that intro was lit. Let's fucking go. Cali Connection just showing some support. And Denise, that Cheetah interview, probably one of my favorite that you've done. Today's episode of Dynamite was all over the place. First of all, thank you so much for showing that Cheetah interview some love. It is my most loved interview of all time, Reg, of all time. So I appreciate
Interviews, man. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just this week, you've already put out hella interviews. Oh. Great job. Been hearing some really great feedback on that. You killed it out there. You guys talked about some great, interesting topics. And you're just on fire, Denise. Congrats.
So in that case, you know what? Your Alan Darrow spent a little bit of money here. So I want to go ahead and might as well reveal this news tomorrow morning, everyone. 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 noon Eastern. Guess who I'm dropping an interview with?
What? Who? Who could it be, Denise?
The whole effing show. Rob Van.
Come on, baby. Come on. We talked about RVD right here on this show. My favorite ECW wrestler of all time. I love it. It's amazing. It's great. I'm so excited for you, Denise. That's dope.
Yeah, I shot that today. It went really good. It's coming out. It's about like 40-something minutes. We talk about AEW. We get into some ECW stuff, some WWE stuff. We do lightning round. There's some interesting stuff in there that I think people will enjoy. So that's going to be dropping tomorrow. So thank you so much to Uriel Londeros. Delayed Grad says, Texas Chainsaw is the match we didn't want or need, but we deserved per Tony. And then Metalhead for Life sends in a very nice super sticker. So because a lot of our super chats are first about the whole situation with the Texas Chainsaw match, let's go ahead and get into that. Let's talk about what actually went down. So we're going to get started there.
Please tell me what went down, Denise, because I'm still confused.
Okay. So just imagine, have you ever gone to like Halloween Horror Nights, Not Scary Farm,
that type of stuff?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Imagine if you were allowed to wrestle in there with your friends, and except that there wasn't really great, detailing in this actual thing. That's what this was. So Jeff Jarrett versus Jeff Hardy was announced, and this was promoted as a Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match. Yes. Now, I've seen quite a few death matches in my day. I'm a fan of death matches. I wouldn't necessarily classify this one, I guess, a death match. To me, this was a horror maze match. And for the most part, I guess I didn't really know what my expectations of this really were, because we'd never seen anything like this, right? This was a promotional thing. And clearly, this was to promote, as we know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And they start this match off. Jeff Hardy comes in, and he's got, sorry, just drooled.
That's what this match did to me, too. I was drooling the whole time.
I was like, can you see that on camera?
You probably would have moved on. Nobody would have known.
I know.
Denise slobbering on this show.
This is what this match did to me. It's just psychedelics right now. They're all getting to me.
Yeah,
So this match kicks off. Jeff Hardy comes out, and he's got really great makeup, by the way. I thought it really worked well for what they did here. And they basically started this match underneath one of the hallways within the area where like the crowd is. And they end up working their way through into the ring. The part in the actual hallway gets very messy. At this point, I'm like, where's Jeff Hardy? Isn't he supposed to be in this match? Because it's literally a melee of all of a sudden we see Satnam Singh come out. He starts choking Jeff Hardy up against the wall. We see freaking Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, Ethan Page. At one point, Matt Hardy busts out and recreates the Carrie scene from the movie Carrie and pours a bunch of, I'm assuming, red blood, red paint. I don't know what it was on Jeff Jarrett. And then they're basically scared off. Karen Jarrett's there, by the way. And they're scared off. They're running. They're trying to get out of this situation. Again, it's like a horror maze. They finally make their way out to the actual ring, and you got tables there and kendo sticks and just a bunch of nonsense. And this gets it's a little bit of everything. At this point, everybody's involved in this match. And at one point, we hear this like music, but it's like a chainsaw music song. I don't know how to describe it. And then Leatherface comes out. So he's all elite now. He comes out with the chainsaw.
So he's all elite now.
He's all elite. So he comes out and he ends up chasing Karen Jarrett with the chainsaw. And Jeff Hardy's distracted by this. So then this basically allows for Jay Lethal to hit Jeff Hardy with a hammer. And then afterwards, Satnam Singh choke slams him, and they drag Jeff Jarrett's body onto him for the 1-2-3. I did not make any of this up.
That was all real. All of that happened. I was hoping that it was going to be Chainsaw Charlie when they started going off a thing. I was like, oh, cool, Terry Funk's here. At least we're going to have like some kind of, we're going to bring this around at the end. Terry Funk's going to hobble out here with the chainsaw. Everybody's going to go crazy. Nope, it's Leatherface, and not the really cool Leatherface from back in the Japanese days that used to be a part of JCW that used to fight Freddy Krueger in Japan. Not that Leatherface. Another Leatherface that's just randomly here. Things are off the rails, Denise. At one point, Jarrett and Karen are hiding, and it's like dark and you can't see anything. It's like, okay, what show is this? Why is this going on? Where is Bray Wyatt? I'm waiting moments. I'm waiting. There's a bunny, gotta be somewhere around here. Like, something's going to happen. Is that the Fiend? I'm crazy. I'm just waiting for him to come around the corner and be like, gotcha, Reg. I knew you were going to be mad at this. I got you again. Here I am again to ruin your life. Bray Wyatt. You know what? There's a show next week, Denise. All in. Yep. I don't know what the hell this was, and that's where I'm going to leave it, because sometimes I'll be getting in trouble on this show.
So, did you hate it?
I can't.
You can't. Wait. Wait, Reg, you're not willing to tell us if you hated this or not.
I think you could see by the way that I described this on the scale of one to awful. This shit was god awful, trash, terrible. Keep it off of my screen. Never want to see it again. This is a Rampage match, and we watched it on Dynamite. You're building to the biggest wrestling show in the history of wrestling shows, they say, Denise. Like, there's no other wrestling show that's going to be bigger to this. We should be building to that. The greatest, one of the baddest wrestlers in the world just showed up to beat up an old Chris Jericho. Put him in a match. We should be watching him wrestle. Instead, we're watching a Bray Wyatt fucking horror match with zombies and Leatherface, and they're dropping blood on people. Like, what is going on here? I thought we were building the Wembley Stadium. The Young Bucks are in the main event. This should be something going on. But I really understand, you know what I mean? Because I've seen a lot of people saying that they like this video game. Are you going to buy this video game, Denise?
It's a like, video what? Game?
See, exactly. Look,
I thought it was a movie.
Boom. There it is.
It's a movie, and I thought it was just like the fifth part or something coming
out.
Your
promotion is wild. Nobody even knows what you're promoting. You promoted a whole match.
What date? When does it come out?
Nobody even knew that you were promoting a video game. They thought you were promoting the movie. Come on, you guys. Texas Chainsaw, the video game, is what this was promoting.
All right. When's the video game come out? Did they say?
I have no idea.
Okay, then this is not a great promotion then, because see? The point is, I was thinking like, okay, they're announcing some movie, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, who knows? Like, I thought it was just one of those things where they redo the movie like 500 times, so I figured this was like the fifth Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie. I saw one. I feel like you've seen one, you've seen them all, really, when it comes to that. Sorry if I insulted any
video
Texas
game,
Chainsaw
guys. Yep.
Massacre fans, you know, like I personally feel bad now, because the whole point is that at the end of this, I should have come out saying this is what they were promoting, this is when it's coming out, and this is whether or not I'm gonna go and buy it. But with all of that being said though, Reg, I'm gonna have to be the this is why I didn't hate it, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't hate this because I'm not gonna come out here and say, oh, this was good. Of course not. I'm not an idiot. But this was entertaining to me because it was just a freaking hot mess. It was this horror fest of a hot mess. And I wasn't supposed to take this seriously. This was supposed to be a joke. I got it. It was a joke.
They have a show on TNT every Friday called Rampage, where you could get all the jokes off that you want. You could tell all the jokes are, but you got Matt Hardy backflipping with Rebe Hardy. The Hardy clan could be in there. Her dad could be in there. Everybody could be on there on Rampage. This is the flagship show. You're trying to compete with your other show, Collision, who everybody says is a better show. So you got to bring it. So now Collision is going to get these people out of here. Denise, let me ask you a question. You think if Leatherface would have showed up on Saturday to Collision, that CM Punk would have let him go out there? Absolutely not. He would have said, Leatherface, let me talk to you over here for a little bit. You know I'm CM Punk? Do you know I saw your Twitter? I saw what you said about me, bro. Back to the hotel. He would not have been on this show if Chicago Made Punk was back there. But look what we got going on over here on Dynamite. You got Leatherface over here with his chainsaw and Karen Jarrett. Bet you won't be seeing that on Saturday.
So, Reg, are you saying we need CM Punk on Wednesdays?
Look, regulators, mount up. CM Punk is front and center to get you in shape. Some trash shows up. CM Punk's like, hey, bro, you're not about to be eating sandwiches over here on the Collision side. Pack it up, bro. You're out of here. That's what would have happened to Leatherface. But instead, they were like, if we put it on Dynamite, then Phil ain't going to say nothing about this. Can't do anything over here. We put it on Saturday, we get chewed out.
Okay, here's my real honest to God question. This is the most serious question I'm ever going to ask in my life. Too. Do you think CM Punk would let Leatherface into catering?
No. He wouldn't be able to come anywhere. He would have saw that chainsaw and said, if Terry Funk ain't behind this chainsaw, get whoever is in here out of here.
So look, I feel like I just got buried in this because you made such great points and I don't have anything to argue you. I have nothing other than say, then you know what? I didn't take this seriously. It's a promotion. And it was kind of nice to have a little bit of a silly, stupid break during the show. You know, everything's always
I'm clowning. Like, you need stuff like this. Sometimes you have to have something dumb and silly.
Reg, stick to your guns.
No, man, I'm all over the place. I'm like a politician. I'm just like, okay, Denise is, I'm agreeing too. Actually, that was pretty good. You guys have fun. We all had fun. We're having fun.
Reg, you're allowed to say what you want to say.
All right. That show was trash, Denise. The worst thing I've ever seen in my whole life since I watched Raw on Monday. Let's move on.
Damn, even got Raw somehow got buried in all of this. All right, well, for the people that did enjoy it for what it was, someone on Twitter said it perfectly. It was that car wreck, that train wreck, whatever wreck you want to see, that you can't not look away from, right? Yeah. We get it. We all tend to look that direction. It's just human nature. And that is literally what this match was, except that that's not entertaining to see, but this was entertaining to see because it was silly. It was neurotic. And again, it made me feel like I was on drugs or something. So it was a nice little break, something
different. And we know Denise doesn't do drugs. So like if anything could get her into that, it's funny and let's do it again.
Unless I was medically like, you know, required. Unless
you had to be. Yeah.
Unless totally. I was required to. But and also the other thing that I want to say too is that as stupid as it may sound, in like a couple of months, come back on a random Dynamite. Please surprise me. I welcome the viewers to ask me if I'm going to remember Leatherface chasing out Karen Jarrett with a chainsaw.
And do you know think what my that'll be the be? Number one thing you remember from this show? If somebody's like, hey, you remember that one show, Denise? You'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that Jeff Jarrett and Karen. They tore it up.
Watch that be the first thing. Like, hey, Denise, do you remember what show that Will Ospreay attacked Chris Jericho in? No. Was that the one with Leatherface in it? Come back and ask me. Come back and ask me in a while from now. And I'm going to remember that. I'm going to remember it.
For people that were fans of WCW, if you're a fan of that, I was going to say, somebody just said in the chat, that's how RoboCop was too. And it wasn't looked back fondly after 9 months. People were like, you remember RoboCop? That was the worst thing they ever done. 2 years later, hey, WCW's having a good time. Hey, you guys remember RoboCop? That was the worst thing they ever done. That's how it's going to be. It's a stigma that could be stuck. We still talk about the ECW zombie. We still talk about those zombies that Miz had a match with. Like anytime you say zombies, you're like, oh my God, remember that one time?
We're still talking about the Pitch Black match.
Don't get me started. Please don't get me started.
All right, let's get into these super chats. Delayed Grad says, for real, I swear I saw Uncle Howdy in the back doing lines during that match.
I'm saying. Wasn't just me.
Bro, at this point, I don't think Uncle Howdy can do a line. Do you remember that freaking spot that he had at the Royal he's Rumble? Dead.
Yeah, a lot of people died in this match. He could have been one of them.
He's probably doing zigzags. All right, Chi-Town Spurs says, very nice of the Elite to allow Collision roster members to perform on Wednesdays. They're clearly pro-refugee, unlike a certain Chicago man. Oh, man, guys. I knew this was coming up. Will Chisholm, thank you so much, Chi-Town Spurs, by the way, for your super chat. Will Chisholm, thank you so much for hopping in. Will says, I'm sorry, this was bad. My four-year-old daughter looked at me and asked my dad, why are you watching this? Did Bray Wyatt direct this? Oh, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Look, man, I'll be honest with you guys. If one of my friends, one of my non-wrestling friends would have walked in on me or been in the same room as I was watching this, I would have came on here with a whole different story. I would have been here like, I was so embarrassing. My friend saw that.
Exactly. That's like when they say at cinema, it's like if somebody didn't watch pro wrestling, watch this, they'd be like, this is the most embarrassing thing I ever seen in my life. So keep the cinemas, you guys.
Thankfully, I'm watching wrestling in closed doors and no one is watching it with me. So there's that. Grapple Geekery sends in a super chat saying, a very generous one, by the way. Thank you very much. Says the CM Punk BS and the continuing lazy booking of the women's division hung over tonight's show for me. Max was great, but Hanger's promo bummed me out because of what happened Saturday. The CM Punk drama can stop any time now. So let's get into that for a second because Grapple Geekery did spend a nice little amount here. So I do want to go ahead and take some time with this. Reg, you're reading, keep in mind there was a hybrid of reports from multiple places. You have The Observer, you had Fightful, you had PW Torch, you had House of Wrestling. You just had a lot of different information coming in here. And basically, just to summarize, is that, you know, CM Punk does have a lot more power than maybe a lot of people anticipated over on the Collision side. And let's be real, if you have an issue or he doesn't see fit to have you on the show or whatever the situation is, there's a good chance that you're going to be axed out. And there's different situations, different stories involving Christopher Daniels, Hangman Page, Matt Hardy, Isaiah Cassidy, Ryan Nemeth. And then there was the drama with Jungle Boy. There's a lot of names here, but they were all kind of a little bit
different. You named everybody from the Texas Death Match right now that was in there earlier. You named half the people that were in that match were in this.
Yeah, you know, different situations that occurred, right? But what's your make of all of this right now, based on the information that's put out there? And keep in mind, by the way, I should add this too, that when it came to Hangman Page, though, it's been the latest information is that CM Punk did not have anything to do with that. So putting that out there.
Yeah. It. It's a lot, Denise. It's too much at this point. I just want to get to All In and see this great show. I just want to, like, the other day when it came out, what it was like Monday or something when this news came out, I was like, I can't next week there come out another story of CM Punk putting somebody against the wall and shaking them down. Like, dude, we got to just get to the wrestling. I'm tired of these rumors and report. As somebody who has to talk about wrestling a lot on podcasts, and I enjoy it very much, I don't want to come on here and talk about rumors and something that I didn't see. So if you keep giving me something that I didn't see that I have to go off rumors and reports and news, I don't want to talk about this because I can't sit here and speculate. I can't take sides because I don't know anything about anybody. I can't do anything. All I can do is come on here and say, yo, it's pro wrestling, you guys, get it to the out here. But the things that keep coming out just get so far away from it. I am tired of it. Somebody was tweeting me like, hey, Reg, where you been? I can't look at this anymore. I can't look at everybody having an opinion on it. I just can't, you guys. I care about fucking flips. That's all I care about. I want to see what happens on the show. As somebody who has to talk about it, I don't want to talk about that, dude. I want to talk about what you did on here because pure speculation doesn't do anything for anybody. We're all just sitting here, blah, 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 yapping, yapping, yapping. And I don't want to, man. I want to talk about this wrestling show. There's going to be 80,000 people that Denise is going to go sit with next week. We should be talking about that, not about CM Punk and Dolph Ziggler's little brother. I don't care.
So you made a lot of great points. I get that. Totally understand it. I think for me, I think every situation's different, right? And there I find myself siding with CM Punk a lot. And I know the chat's going to be like, what the fuck? So I know the popular thing is just to automatically go against CM Punk, right? Because a lot of people see him as the bad guy. And a lot of people, just automatically just dismiss and don't even like care to even try to see what each scenario is. There are times where I do agree in the sense that, let's be real, CM Punk is a big star. He's a big star, okay? And I know people make jokes about, Tony Khan bending over backwards for him and this and that. Dude, you're in Tony Khan's situation. You got yourself a big star. You're going to do things to, appease that person. That's just the way that it is. It's like that everywhere. It's like that everywhere. And when it comes to politics in pro wrestling, anybody who thinks that just because someone comes up to you and smiles in your face, that they're not saying things behind your back, you're nuts to think that, okay? Because there is a lot of politics. And some people, I think, are more upfront and some people do it behind your back. I think this is literally just based on reports and stories that have come out. I feel CM Punk is more of in your face. We have a problem. I'm going to direct it to you, to your face, and we're going to talk about this and we're going to sort this out versus maybe just being like, hey, we're good friends. Yeah. Everything's great, And so I do kind of see that. I think people are different. People are going to handle situations differently. If you got beef with somebody, if someone sends out some shitty ass tweet, we're going to handle it differently. Reg, you're going to handle it differently. I'm going to handle it differently. Some of us might be like Hangman Page where, we don't say anything. We disconnect from it. Fuck it. Move on. And then some of us are going to be like CM Punk where we're like, no, we're going to take care of this. And I feel like that's been some of the things that I think people are just seeing any story related to CM Punk and then just disregard everything to be against him versus actually trying to maybe dissect and see each scenario differently, right? Do I agree with everything? Of course not. I think there's multiple sides to each and every single story. There's going to be the good guy. There's going to be bad guy. Shit. There's going to be mix of both in the same story. And so I do think that is something that we should take account of, See both sides of it instead of just completely dismissing it. There was a lot of interesting stuff that I think came out of the stuff with CM Punk this weekend, even just with the situation regarding Jack Perry. I thought that was interesting. And one of the quotes that I don't know if people are really talking about, but this was part of Fightful's report where one of the things was that he was talking about people on the roster not wanting to work as hard. I thought that was really interesting. And I didn't see Well, I don't know if people were talking about it on Twitter. Maybe I didn't look hard enough, but I didn't see a lot of people, you know, really talk about that portion of it. And I thought that was very interesting. So there's a lot here that we have more questions than we do answers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about the whole thing. Like I'm not even mad about the way that CM Punk handled it. I'm mad that like they all gossip about it, him included, like get the elephant out the fucking room. Like he goes and talks to these people too. It's like, you can't pitch something at one place and be like, why are you guys doing this? Why are you guys doing this to me? And then go and do it. It's just like, bro, like is it all fair game or is it no fair game? It can't be half of it. It has to be all of it. That's where I'm landing at with it. Fight, you guys, get the cage back there, Tony Khan. Let these guys just go at it so we can move on. I just want to see some wrestling, Denise.
They just need to let their anger out now at this point. Have it off. Deal with it. Confrontation. All right. Well, all I know is that I'm expecting more stories, honestly. Of course. John Deller sends in another generous super chat saying, don't forget the title Jarrett put around his waist. Bro, wait, he put a title? I didn't even see it.
There was so much going on. Like, at
bro,
what
this
point?
Is fucking nuts.
Yeah, I don't know.
I did see something about that, by the way, that he had said something about a championship for this, but then they didn't really like, I didn't see them really push this on social media.
Was there like a Texas Chainsaw Championship or something?
Yeah, I saw something about that, but I don't think they like really, really nailed it in, at least in my opinion. Maybe I was too like hyped up on everything else that was going on. But John Deller, thank you so much for bringing this up. I'm guessing this is just going to, maybe it's going to take over and be the new gimmick bout, but for the, you know, instead of the FTW Championship, all of a sudden, Jeff Jarrett's going to be this death. What are they officially calling it? Texas Chainsaw? What are they doing?
Texas Chainsaw Deathmatch Champion.
The whole thing?
Yeah. Yeah. What you mean?
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
I don't know if this is real, you guys. Is it real?
No, everyone's saying Leatherface Championship, a title bout with Leatherface on it.
That's just the Fiend's belt. Now y'all are wilding.
Wait, this really happened? How did I not see this?
Oh, I missed it. And I'm glad I missed it. I hope I missed it again.
Oh my God, this is nuts. All right, let's press on from here. Will Chisholm says that damn Slim Jim Battle Royal was better, sadly. Yeah. Oh, that Slim Jim Battle Royal was very fun, was actually.
Yeah,
that was very fun. Brent M says, reminded me of Concession Stand Bra right before Forbidden Door. That was fun. I had a good time with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty. That was kind of like the same plunder, but the lights were on for more of it, so it felt better.
Mike T90K sends in a super chat saying, hey, Denise, what a weird and wild Dynamite tonight. CM Punk was Leatherface. Can you imagine that?
That's funny. That's really
if
funny.
All of a sudden we get a report that the Bucks fought with Leatherface, everyone's going to know what the hell went down.
I hope not.
You know what? I hope so, because I need news for these videos, guys.
Honestly, at the end of the show where FTR came and made the save, I was like, how funny would it be if like CM Punk was just with them? Like, what would they do if like he was just there, like running behind them? Like he just slid in the ring. Like, what would the Bucks do? Slide out? Like, this is real? The Montreal Screwjob again?
I don't know. At this point, I have no idea. We got Leatherface tonight chasing Karen Jarrett with a chainsaw. Anything can happen. Chi-Town Spur says, what's way better than a 25-minute CM Punk main event, in my opinion? And then Troy Paulette says, damn it, Denise, I thought you announced an interview with Leatherface.
Oh, that'd be sick. Denise, try to get that.
Hey, I'll try. I'll do my best. Mm-hmm. Mike T90K says, I died when Satnam came out in overalls. Yeah, mm-hmm. They've been doing that now. They did that in that one skit. When they went to Mark Briscoe's farm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was dope. All right, and then also 554K has been a member for 3 months, just as we hope that he hopes we're doing well. Thank you. David Reed says, Nigel as one of BCC's mystery partners. We'll get into that in just a second as who we think the mystery partners might be. Ryan Cordes says, $25 more to follow if you both say CM Punk is Charmin Soft. Reg, you willing to take one for the team?
CM Punk is Charmin Soft. What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
You don't know what Charmin is?
No, what is that?
The toilet paper. Charmin Ultra Soft with the little bears on it? I'm Charmin Clean or something. I'm Charmin Soft.
Yeah, really disgusting commercials. Yeah, I've seen it.
Oh, those are so cute.
It's like about bears wiping their butts.
It's pretty cute. It could be worse. They could show actual humans wiping their butts.
You know,
could be worse. Yeah. Alec Quinn says wrestling tribalism apparently extends backstage too. SMH, I hate it here. LOL.
Eloquent, yeah.
Will Chisholm sends in a super chat saying that match was as bad as the Seth Rollins versus Rey Mysterio Eye for an Eye match. Remember that, kids? Oh, I remember that. That was interesting. Yeah.
Was that pandemic?
That was.
I tried to erase a lot of that out of my brain. Yeah. Mm-mm.
All right. And then we got another super chat here from Sheldon Jackson who says, I'm just so effing done with the Elite and Punk drama. Y'all are grown men acting like they're 5 years old. Man up and act like it, not some coward. Yeah. I'm curious, how would you handle this, Reg? If you were in this situation, what do? You guys avoid each other forever or you confront each other?
I don't know. It's so complicated, honestly. There's so much going on that behind the scenes that a lot of people that don't know that affect what can happen here. But like at the end of the day, it's pro wrestling. I'd be like, you guys are going to fight on camera if you guys are going to fight, because I'm about to make money off of this.
All right. And we got a very generous super chat from Ryan Cordes. Ryan, thank you so much for this. Honestly, that was very kind of you. You didn't have to. We appreciate this a whole lot, though. Reg, you're getting a bonus today. Congratulations.
All I had to do was put it on the line for Charmin, baby. With the bear.
Hey, maybe we might get Charmin to sponsor this podcast now. I'm Charmin mm-hmm. clean. Or I don't remember how the song goes. Whatever.
Oh my God, I don't think I've ever heard that song.
Dude, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. How have you not heard
it? I'm Charmin clean. Nuh-uh.
I'm pretty sure someone in the chat, please hook me up here with the actual lyrics. Like, I'm pretty sure those are the lyrics. But Ryan Cordes, seriously, thank you so much. And we send you over some good karma your direction. Ryan, thank you very much. Okay, so let's go ahead and press on from this because there's still so much we haven't even covered. We spent 36 freaking minutes on this freaking Leatherface stuff. All right, so let's go ahead and get into another hot topic, and that is the Don Callis, Chris Jericho situation. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of important because this leads into a match that has been put out there for All In. So Chris Jericho basically comes out and says he is going to be part of Don Callis's family. They hug it out. They're about to go drink and celebrate at the bar. But you pretty much sense that something was going down. There was a photo in the ring that was covered with a black drape, and Jericho takes a notice of it and he asks Don, like, hey, what's in this photo? And Don's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's cool. You don't got to worry about it. But Jericho's curious. So he takes out the little sheet, and in it is a picture, an art of Don Callis holding up Chris Jericho's beheaded head. And so Jericho's like, what the hell? Why would you do this? Did you think I wasn't going to side with you? And Don Callis is like, no. He calls him a narcissistic egomaniac, and they go back and forth. And Jericho starts telling him that he has nobody left, that he has no family, no friends. This goes on for a while, okay? Mm-hmm. And then finally, out of nowhere, Kinosuke Takeshita shows up with a chair and attacks Chris Jericho. And then Will Ospreay comes out, and that was like the big moment. He comes out, takes out Jericho, hits him with a chair as well. Then they both hold him down, and Don Callis gets that big giant frame and smashes it over Chris Jericho's head, busting him open. And then Sammy Guevara runs out there, because Sammy Guevara, like we mentioned last week, still has a soft spot for Chris Jericho, comes out, helps him out. Later on, we get a backstage portion, segment, whatever, with Chris Jericho challenging Will Ospreay officially for All In. So what'd you make of this whole thing?
Surprisingly, I liked this a lot. I thought the execution of it with, there was a lot of twists and turns that I thought they executed it pretty good. Like Jericho first just being like, yeah, actually I will join you, Don. Like, you convinced me. Like, they turned their back on me. You never turned your back on me. We've been down for a long time. Let's do it. I like it. And that good surprise. Don being like, oh, no, for reals? Like, you really into it? All of it was great. Don trying to get him out of the ring really quickly. And Jericho being like, but like, what's up with that? What's over there? Draped up over there. And then them making the reveal and showing the great art. Mel Coleman always destroys it on the painting. She did it again. This is really cool execution. I thought everybody was really good here. Jericho coming in and being like, bro, you be talking all this, but we know exactly who you are. I only got down with you because I was like that too, but I'm not like that anymore. Sammy making the save. Will Ospreay is here, Denise. I know. Listen, I would have rather seen Will Ospreay versus Omega again, or Will Ospreay versus Swerve, or Will Ospreay in some amazing match. We're not going to get it. So look, next best thing is Will Ospreay against anybody, because he is like the best wrestler in the world and could have a great match with anybody. So he's going to be here. We're going to watch him against Chris Jericho, and it's going to be awesome. That's how I'm leaving this, because we can't just be mad the whole time, like, and mad when it's happening and mad when Ospreay's doing his thing. He talked about this being a dream match, Denise. Like, as crazy as we are about Chris Jericho and how things have gotten, he still is a legend, and he still is a person that a lot of people want to wrestle. So it's great for Will Ospreay. It's going to be a fun match regardless. And it's cool to see Ospreay here on Dynamite.
I think my only thing that I want to nitpick here at for a second is that, to me, Don Callis not expecting Chris Jericho to join his family didn't make sense to me, because the last couple of weeks, it feels like Don Callis has been very positive that this thing is going to happen. Even last week, he was like, oh my God, awesome. I'm going to take care of everything. Like, don't worry. I got this. We're going to celebrate. And he did not at any point give any indication that he had doubt that Chris Jericho was going to be joining him. So I kind of felt like that portion of it came out of nowhere for me.
He might have been playing off the history of Chris Jericho. Just if, like, if you know Chris Jericho, you kind of know where this is going. And Chris Jericho immediately said, like, I don't join factions, I create them. Don Callis is pretty smart. As bad as we want to rap, as we want to put on him, he's conniving, he's all this. Also super smart. He knew every move that was going to be made here. I think it's a lot smarter move. He knew that this was going to lead to that. Not even in, like, it's a wrestling, somebody wrote it on a script, like, Don Callis, the wrestling character, knew where this was going to lead.
Okay, I like that. I'll take your explanation over this, because I personally didn't feel like they gave us any sort of tease or any, besides the one line from Chris Jericho that happened a couple of weeks ago about him saying that he doesn't join factions, that he creates them. Aside from that, that was really it. But Will Ospreay versus Chris Jericho is most likely happening at All In. And I feel like the stakes are definitely going to be high in terms of people are going to want to be ready to trash this match if it sucks. Like, if it sucks, people are not going to shy away from trashing it.
They can't wait.
right. So I do hope that it's a good match. I hope that it doesn't feel like a throwaway type of situation. But then again, you're completely right on this when you said that not only is this a dream match for Ospreay, but also being in there with Chris Jericho, who, regardless of however people feel, is a big name.
Yeah. And Jericho, not for nothing, like, throughout the Ring of Honor title run that he had and a lot of stuff this year, like, if he needs to have a big match, he'll have it. And, like, the biggest match wrestler right now is against Will Ospreay. So I don't have a doubt in my mind that it's going to be a great match.
Also, I want to take a second to welcome brand new DWO member, Aaron Garcia. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the channel. Dude, thank you so much. We appreciate that a whole lot. Mike T90K sends in a super chat saying, as a huge Jericho fan, I would have booked a 15-minute Jericho Sting match at All In instead. I'm not wasting Ospreay like that. He's too good, man. And we did get a little bit of a tease, you know, with Jericho and Sting. So they could have probably gone that direction.
That would have been, like, with the UK crowd, that would have went over pretty huge. But I understand why they didn't.
Right. All right. Thank you so much to Mike T90K for also sending in that super chat. We got another one here from Sheldon Jackson, who says, man, Ospreay is going to be busy next weekend, starting on Friday at the Copper Box Arena for Rev Pro's 11-year anniversary against Shingo. And then the next day at All In against Chris Jericho. Just damn. I feel like this is honestly probably a norm for Ospreay at this point.
Yeah, no, he wrestles in New Japan. He's done G1. This is like, okay, Jericho on one day and then Shingo the next, or Shingo one day and Jericho the next. That's like a walk in the park. But Shingo is going to beat his ass for sure before that.
Right. Thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson here for sending this in. And this is something from the Brenda Boxer, who says, no, Jericho turned babyface tonight. You didn't realize. Do we see Jericho as a babyface now? Because he was supposed to be the babyface in this situation. He was outnumbered. He got hit in the head with the frame. He was going to side with Don Callis. I don't necessarily, he doesn't scream babyface to me, but I get the subtleties.
Like, there are some people that cheered in the crowd when he started going in on Don and kind of when the things were happening, but, like, I just can't see it. Like, everybody's gonna boo Don regardless, and I just can't see people immediately being in on face Jericho, because face Jericho just isn't Hill Jericho is the only way to go at this point. Nobody wants to cheer that guy. Like, it's good to like boo him, but I get it. Like, he still wants to get more royalties for Judas. So like, being babyface is where it's at. Like, you see what they did tonight. They actually cut Judas for the first time ever. Thank God.
I'm over the song. I'm sorry. I know it's a fun song to sing, but I'm a little over it.
Denise, this is probably like the 255th time we've heard it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's for, some people like go to the gym and they're like, Judas in my mind. Like, I mean, this is just me hearing it on the TV so many times. I can't anymore.
I was going to say the same thing. I have not once at all, and I add every song to my Spotify. Not once have I added Judas to my Spotify. I'm like, nah, bro, I'm going to listen to that 100 times when I watch AEW. Mm-hmm. I don't need to listen to Judas on Spotify. Right. Let's go ahead and get into Kenny Omega and everything that went down with that. So we had a sit-down interview with him and Jim Ross, and he's talking about how all of the nice things that Don Callis has done for him. And during this interview, he is attacked by Bullet Club Gold. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I love me a good surprise attack. They get him with a 2x4 on the back. They hit him with a pipe. They tie him down. They choke him. You name it, they did it. It was very, very fun. They're mocking him, calling him the God of Pro Wrestling. And then we get a promo from Hangman Adam Page. And then in this, we basically learn of a brand new match that is being made, or that's officially happening at All In. So let me go ahead and pull up the little graphic here.
Graphic.
If my vision is good. There you go. Kenny Omega, Hangman Adam Page, Kota Ibushi versus Kinoshiki Takeshita, Jay White, and Juice Robinson is officially set for All In. And how do you think... I'm honestly looking forward to this match. I think that this one's going to be really action-packed. I'm ready for it. I know that there was a couple of people that were a little bit upset on social media when this match was rumored to be happening a couple weeks ago because I don't know why, really, but there was a lot of people that were kind of upset. I'm not, dude. These are all big guys in terms of, you know, they're all important people. They're all people I care about, and I think they're going to put on a phenomenal match.
I think people were expecting Kenny Omega to have a one-on-one match, and we were leading to potentially rumors, things that Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega, and Bryan Danielson is of course out with the broken arm, so we can't do that. They pivoted to the next best thing. We've been wanting for a while to see Kenny and Kota team up again, having Hangman there. On the other side is Takeshita, who's had this beef with Kenny Omega for a long time, and the Bang Bang Gang, who Jay White, his whole run in New Japan was talking that shit to Kenny Omega and telling him that he's better than him, better Bullet Club member, better than him at all of this stuff. So here's your time to prove it. All these guys are amazing. What kind of a match would you expect with these six guys? The biggest show of all time. Like, it's going to hit. This segment was really fun. I liked it a lot. I don't know if you've ever seen Friday, Denise, but
yes, Friday Debo, 1 and 2.
Debo comes in, Debo. And knocks out Red and Red's dad there. And Debo says, "You want some of this too, old man?" That happened to Jim Ross. And this thing, Jim Ross is standing in the back like, "I do not want some of this too, old man. You guys handle that. I'm going to just stand over here. That's a slobber knocker, but I don't want no parts of that." Really fun stuff. I'm happy for, I think, on the backs of this, Jay White and Juice Robinson. They earned this spot with what they've been doing over there on Collision, Denise. Like, think of the year that Jay White has had. Like, we thought for a long time that he was going to go to WWE. Like, that was our initial thing, is like, you know, this guy's going to probably confront Cody Rhodes at the end of WrestleMania or something. Like, there's all kind of rumors that started. Nope, didn't happen. He had the Loser Leaves New Japan match. Shows up here in AEW, and it's packed with heels, Denise, and people that are already kind of established to the AEW fan base. Some people don't know about Jay White's New Japan run. So they're just like, who's this guy? Like, why should we care about him? He's given everybody a reason to care about him every single week on Collision. And I think he's earned a big moment like that. So that's probably what I'm the happiest about them now to this match, that Juice and Jay destroyed it. They had one of the best tag team matches of the year. Now they're going to have this giant match at the biggest wrestling show of all time, which I think is super dope.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because you mentioned how there's some people that might not get why, you know, Jay White is going to be put in a situation like this or why he's been booked the way that he has. Right. Mm-hmm. There was also, you know, complaints that Jay White hadn't been booked when he first got to AEW, hadn't been booked up to his standard. Right. Right. Because Jay White was doing a lot of big things mm-hmm. and it kind of felt like his start in AEW sort of felt a little bit like a step down. Yeah. And so I feel like it's one of those situations where you can't really please both sides, but I'm going to be honest with you, I was on the side that AEW needed to book Jay White better. Right. I was on that boat. I'm gonna be real.
Collision was
here.
Great for him just yes. to be able to kind of get away from the big pool that Dynamite is and just establish like, who is this guy? Let him talk, let him have these great matches, let him have that character and do everything that brought him to prominence in New Japan. And it's shown, and here you go, right here. So Collision, exactly. I know I've talked to a couple AEW wrestlers that are like, Collisions have been a godsend, like, we wouldn't be what we are if it wasn't for Collision. We'd still be, you know, in space somewhere. So
exactly. And like, even just thinking of that match with FTR, like, even just think about that. Yep. Like, even that's just like one thing, and that's been really great. So yeah, I think you're definitely mm-hmm. right. AEW Collision has done a lot for a lot of people. And I've loved the focus that it's done for the Bullet Club Gold. And I've even started to like, I haven't even told you this, Reg, since I don't get to talk about them as often. I mainly talk about them on the Collision post show, but I'm starting to, you know, be a little bit of a fan of the Guns, of this version of the Guns on Bullet Club Gold. I know, Reg, I didn't like them before. I'm starting to dig them as part
of
Bullet Club Gold.
I have
Gold.
An opening on Wednesday night. It's post-Dynamite. If you guys need a podcaster, I'm out of here.
Reg, come on. They're a lot more tolerable.
Right here on TV, on your internet, on YouTube.
They're more tolerable. Reg, am I not right? Are they not more tolerable?
Yes, totally. I mean, come on. I know. Like,
all right, now you're just lying to me.
Listen, if you see him tonight, like what happened tonight in the main event against the best tag team of all time, of course they're going to be tolerable, because the best tag team of all time takes any tag team out to prominence and has them have a great match. The match wasn't even that great. That's how trash the Guns are. If you can't get a great match out of the Young Bucks, you have to be asleep on the mic. Your dad has to be Billy Gunn, and you guys have to butcher the great hip-hop song by the great 50 Cent, the rapper, Mini Man. This is where we get when you guys gas these little jokers up. It's all your fault. It's all your fault.
So Reg is clearly not a fan of the Guns. All right, moving on from here. It's not happened yet for you. All I'm saying is that I'm leaning more towards that direction. I'm tolerating them, okay? I'm tolerating them. I wasn't even there before. I couldn't stand the Guns. I was like, it was, you know, but now I'm warming into it. All right, Delayed Grad sends in a super chat saying, Juice Robinson is like the cocaine and Four Loko had a baby. He grew on me in huge ways and I loved his act now. I was not expecting to read that sentence today.
That's
Delayed
a wild
Grats.
Mix. Yeah, wild mix.
Cocaine and Four Loko. My God. But anyways, you know, Juice Robinson, like, I was a fan of Juice Robinson for like, you know, a while, but then recently I kind of felt like it was just a little bit bland, where I wasn't really caring for Juice Robinson and what he was doing on TV. And again, since Collision and everything they've been doing there, it's been working. It started to feel like, before I kind of felt like he was benefiting from being aligned with Jay White, and Jay White was not really like, you know, he wasn't getting anything in return from that. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm not seeing it that way anymore.
Now it's like he's holding his own weight, as the,
yes,
as you say. Yeah. And that, I mean, it's a tough task coming in, because like, Jay White, as I talked about, already had like all this fare and all this. He had something to live up to. And then so to kind of be double that, because it's like, well, who's this guy like? Well, who's the other guy like? So to kind of have to like do double to establish your name and to be able to execute that is really a testament to both these guys. And Juice Robinson, who, you know, was in that New Japan system for a long time learning, and I think brought what he learned over here and executed pretty well. Man, shout out to those guys.
Yeah. Hey, you started it, both these guys.
Give it up, baby.
All right, and let's go ahead and move along from here. We got another super chat. This one's from Demon Murder. I didn't write anything, but thank you so much to Demon Murder for taking the time to send in this super chat. Again, much appreciated to everybody, seriously. All right, and let's go ahead and move along from here because there's still so much to get into. And let's kick it off with what kicked off the show, actually. Orange Cassidy versus Wheeler Yuta for the international title. We do see Orange Cassidy retain, but what we need to talk about is what happened afterwards, because we should have known from this point on that this show was going to be loco, because there was just a lot that freaking went down. Orange Cassidy gets the win. After this, he gets jumped by the BCC because they had already been out there. And we even saw Orange Cassidy do the paradigm shift right in front of Jon Moxley during this match. Mm-hmm. Then the Best Friends come out. They run out there and help fight off the BCC. But then the Lucha Brothers come out. Eddie Kingston comes out. And at this point, you've come to realize that the Blackpool Combat Club has made a lot of enemies. Yep. And we then lead into another match that has been made for Wembley Stadium, and here it is. We are going to be getting a stadium stampede. I cannot believe it. I'm so excited because I love the stadium stampede. We're gonna be getting one in London. That means new toys to play with, new environments. I think this is gonna be really fun. So here's the big thing we need to talk about. It's gonna be the Blackpool Combat Club versus Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, Lucha Bros, and Eddie Kingston. And they are going to have three mystery partners. There's two that I feel very strongly are going to be the mystery partners. I'm thinking it's definitely got to be Santana and Ortiz. Like, you there think ain't so? No way. Like, there ain't no way that it can't be Santana and Ortiz. And I'm
on BCC side.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. Like, I feel it in my bones with this one. And I went and I asked people on Twitter, and there was a bunch of people on Twitter saying the exact same thing, man. The exact same thing. And I want to go back to that earlier super chat that we had from somebody that was asking about who we thought it was going to be. So I'll pull it up right now. I'm looking for it. But Reg, what did you make of all of this? Are you as excited as I am?
There's three mystery opponents for a BCC, which makes it a little bit more interesting. Is it going to be a trios? Somebody saying Dark Order in the chat. I wouldn't think so, but I don't know. They've been building to a lot of stuff. Oh, yes. Yeah, somebody did say David Reed earlier said Nigel as one of BCC's mystery partners. I wouldn't think so. You guys are making some good choices. I see Homicide in the chat, but I'm like, on the other side, these are people that are going to fight against, don't want them to fight against Eddie Kingston. Like, Eddie Kingston's not going to fight Homicide. Like, that's his boy. That's his brother. Might be a good way to distract him, though. It could be. I don't know. I understand. Where's Pac Play in this thing? Like, we haven't seen
him.
He's
still hurt.
He's out of here, huh?
Unfortunate. I don't know how long he's going to be out for. I have no idea.
This is it's interesting, but I love that they announced that it's going to be a stadium stampede match. It's going to be crazy to see what they do with all this space, what they do with any of this. And having Eddie Kingston back after his G1 run and the things that he's done there, maybe he's going to beat Claudio for the Ring of Honor championship at some point. There's a lot of good that comes out of this. But yeah, Santana and Ortiz, Denise, that's pretty interesting takes. If they are going to come back, if they're going to be reunited, like, it's a lot to take in with that.
Cause they've, you know, obviously we know their history with that. And so that's why, to me, like, it feels like it's going to be them, but I don't know who the third person would be though. I feel like this one's really up in the air. And I was looking at the graphic, you know how the graphics always look like they're kind of giving something right away. Somebody there had like hair, but then I'm like, okay, you know, freaking Ortiz has, like, you know, he could have, sometimes when he wears the bandana and he has the hair coming down, it looks like the hair is flat from the top, but then there's some right here on the bottom. Did you notice this when you're looking? Watch, look at this.
I didn't do CSI breakdown of
zoom in on the left. Who's that on the left? With the hair.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Above Claudio's freaking head.
Well, who's the top right? That looks like that could be Big Show, and I hope it's not Big Show.
I thought that was the Big Show too. When I saw it, I was like, bro, that's the Big Show silhouette.
No, we can't have the Big Show. He cannot be in this match. BCC has Santana, Ortiz, and Big Show. That'd
you
want
to know why it's going to be the Big Show? Because you need somebody to carry them and get them on top of freaking Big Ben so someone can jump off.
Oh, my God. Get her out of here. It's a wrap.
All right. So I'm definitely expecting Santana and Ortiz. I do not know who the third person might be. I have no idea. I'm a little bit out on this one. I don't know.
Yeah. Anybody that kind of would be a good person for that is either injured or like, it's going to be a big surprise to me, I guess, I think at this point.
And we got another super chat here. This one's from Tony Campbell. Thank you so much to Tony, who says, need Athena versus Chris Statlander, Mercedes Moné versus Serena Deeb, or Tessa Blanchard or AJ Lee or Lacey Evans at All In. Whoa, there's a lot in there, Tony. So Tessa Blanchard, not expecting it. Lacey Evans, not expecting it. Mercedes Moné, hoping for it. Mm-hmm. Athena, Chris Statlander, hoping for it. Serena Deeb, don't know when we're going to see her back. And then AJ Lee, no idea if she has any interest in returning or not.
Big Show, Mark Henry, and Nigel is a sick combination of people. I hope it's the Big Show, actually. That'd be kind of sick, though. Well, that'd hit. I'd go off for 60,000 or 80,000. I mean, the UK fans know some Big Show. It might not be the craziest thing.
Hey, you just never know. All right, so let's go ahead and move along from this, and let's go ahead and jump into Jack Perry. And really quickly, he's going to be retiring the FTW Championship next week. Any predictions as to where this is going after this?
I'm sad that this happened after your interview with RVD, because I'd like to know how he feels about retiring the championship. This is kind of a bittersweet moment. We talked a little bit about ECW last week with RVD, but man, that championship was really cool for a time when Taz should have been the champion in ECW. So he created his own to be like, I'm better than the champion. It doesn't matter that I'm not the champ. But then he eventually won the championship, and then he feuded with Sabu over. It's like it has a lot of history. And even in AEW, probably has more history in AEW, like Ricky Starks, the Big Homie, like Hook, everything kind of connected to it. So if he is retiring it, I'm kind of into it because I think it's about time too. And it's a great heel move for Jack Perry too.
I'm almost afraid that he's not going to retire it because I just haven't had any interest in the belt at all.
I don't think it like aids, or it also really doesn't hurt the angle, but it doesn't really help to like give up that like some prestige to it. It's just like, okay, they're feuding over Hook's dad's belt. Maybe Hook, but Hook hasn't really been like, give me that belt back. I'm going to murder you. He's just like, hey, I'm going to get that belt back when I see you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I just feel like it feels too much like an accessory, especially because we know it's not an officially recognized belt by AEW.
Yeah, so
I kind of want him to retire it. That's what I'm rooting for. Retire it, Jack Perry. Go for it. Plus, it gives him something even more to, like, you know, get more heat from people. Like, people are going to be mad, like, oh, how dare you, you know, retire this bow or something. So, who knows? Maybe we might get that. All right. Let's go ahead really quickly. Darby Allin and Nick Wayne defeat the Gates of Agony. After the match, we see the Mogul affiliates essentially surrounding the ring. Sting interrupts them on the Contron, and he kidnapped Prince Nana, and he scares him off by saying, singing the na 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 song. And this was a whole lot of fun, man. I was so freaking happy when Sting popped up on my TV and was, you know, doing like Joker Sting. It was great. What'd you make of this?
Yeah, this was TNA. Somebody said earlier, TNA Joker Sting, 100%. He was making all the facials. He was acting wild. Prince Nana. I like that it wasn't like, he wasn't like holding Prince Nana hostage. Prince Nana was just there. Prince Nana was like, well, what did you want, dude? Like, why am I here? And then he scares him off and he just runs off. So it wasn't like Sting had kidnapped him. He just was like, hey, come to my office and I'll talk to you. And then like Swerve and Air Fox's faces are being like, this fool Sting. And Sting is just such a, like I said last week, he's such a beloved character. And his match at All In is going to be so big. The pop for Sting is going to be massive, and I'm happy for everybody involved in this. Seeing Nick Wayne in a match with Darby, being able to get his first win kind of on TV, they played into a lot of their history, was a really cool segment because I liked everybody involved pretty much.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one too, by the way. And I am really excited to see, because you know Sting's gonna do something crazy in that freaking coffin match. I'm expecting it. So Let's get into everything that went down with MJF and Adam Cole. All right, there's a lot in here. So I'm going to do my best to recap what went down. So we'll start off with the video. Let's start there because we ended up getting a video where they went to Outback Steakhouse because that's where they're going to prepare to face Aussie Open in the pre-show match for the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles. And in this, we learned that MJF is putting over now a kangaroo kick. He tells him, like, this is how we're going to beat them. We're going to do a kangaroo kick because this is what the kangaroos do. And then there's a whole bit where they hit a double clothesline backstage. There's a inflatable alligator and a kiddie pool involved in this. And then Tony Khan starts yelling at them, tells them to come into their office. He goes, we just see the door. We don't see what's behind the door, but we can hear Tony Khan yelling at them saying, like, you guys can't be doing this and we're trying to work. And then they come out and they're like, oh, yeah. MJF starts saying how come 2024, Tony Khan is going to regret this. Mm-hmm. And then we get Tony Khan as an on-screen character and he comes out and he starts basically – I don't even know what he says. I was so enthralled by this.
Yeah.
What did you make of this?
This was hilarious. Tony Khan said, what did you say? And he comes out and he breaks character because, like, Tony Khan. Yeah, that, he right? smiled.
It was so funny. He was like, what did you say? And then he had a big smile.
Because it's like, he can't be serious, man. We all know Tony Khan. He's...
Tell me this isn't the best picture of Tony Khan ever.
Oh, my God. So great.
You know what
coffee.
This reminds me of? Yes. You know, like every like bougie character on TV, every like, you know, your clueless types, all the girls that are like in Hollywood, like I got my shades, I got my coffee, whatever.
That's a meme right there if I ever seen one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but him coming on and breaking character and just laughing and then doing that and just being like, all right, see you later, you guys, was great television. Amazing.
How do you want to see more of Tony Khan as an on-screen character?
I don't know. Like,
I do. Sporadically, though, not often. I think sporadically, it keeps the funniness alive.
If it's going to be in this capacity, yeah. But like authority figures, I have such a offer them for so long that I'm like, I don't want that. You know, just because I'm used to like that. Oh, the authority's going to come down and blah blah blah, and it's like I don't want that.
I agree with you because I do think that Tony's like naturally funny in terms of like his facial expressions and people are always talking about that in the scrums and it's like a thing. Yeah. So I feel like you're right. In this scenario, little bits like this, it could be very entertaining. Definitely not as an on-screen authority figure like your next Adam Pearce. No, thanks. Yeah, I don't want to see any of that. No,
please.
None of that. But so that's the first portion. Then afterwards, we get the in-ring portion. And what we get here is basically Adam Cole basically saying that when the bell rings, he's going to do everything he can to win the championship because it means a lot to him. And then MJF goes on a story time. And you guys know that MJF story times, well, they take a second. To recap, he basically talks about All In. He talks about how Cody Rhodes, he reached out to him, asked for an opportunity, said he wouldn't disappoint. And without All In, there would be no MJF. That's how he got his contract with AEW, with Tony Khan, and everything that went down after that. We all know that story. And then he says, this is how much the belt means to me and how much this all means to me. The Triple B means everything to me. And he tells them, I love you like a brother, but winning at All In will make me legendary and nobody is on the level of the devil. And Adam Cole comes in with his like, well, let the best man win. And then they get jumped by Aussie Open. What'd you make of this?
Have you heard this MJF promo before? Because I feel like everything that he said, I'm like, bro, yeah, okay, again, like, get to it, dude. This did not need 15 minutes. You guys have been promoing us to death for like the last 6 weeks. We already got the point of the video was the promo, bro. Like, we know what's going on here. We're going to see you guys in a tag match. We're going to see you guys fight. I don't need you to tell me the history of MJF because you've already told us the history of MJF, bro. We already know this. Why are you telling us this again?
Yeah, I think you're right on this one too, because when he started off talking about the list and he mentioned Cody and Adam Cole, I'm like, I've heard this already.
Yeah, that's how I felt. I was like, okay, we're going through this again. But I also don't know, because like promos get mixed up. Sometimes he's done before. Sometimes it wasn't in AEW. So I don't know.
Right. And I still found this very entertaining. I felt like, again, MJF just completely, Adam Cole started saying how much this meant to him. And then when MJF said how much this meant to him, I'm like, damn, it really means a lot to this guy. Like, I didn't feel the same way from Adam Cole in terms of, to me, he didn't really sell me on how much this meant to him. I felt like this meant a lot more to MJF based on just the promo work itself, right? And Adam Cole's just a lot more of a simple type of guy when it comes to this. So that's pretty much what I got from all of this. But I thought, I wasn't even expecting to see them in the ring anymore. I thought the video that they did, that was going to be it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they needed this extra thing to kind of sell us on it. It is the biggest match of the show. It is the main event. I mean, they're going to keep selling, probably get another promo next week before the show. So, you know, I understand.
All right. Well, we got a couple more things to get into and then we're almost done, but we still got a couple more topics. But before we continue on, I need to take this time to make a quick announcement about next week's show. So as you guys know, we're on here immediately after Dynamite, as we usually are. However, next week, because I am going to be in London, we will not be doing a post show immediately afterwards. So instead, we are going to be doing next week's AEW Dynamite post show / prediction show for All In on the Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So please make a note of that in case you don't. Well, since you're not going to see us next week immediately after Dynamite, our show has not been canceled. We will be back the following week. But for this specific week, for next week and at All In, we are going to be live on Thursday instead of Wednesday night. So I hope you guys join us. Screenshot this. Do what you need to do to remember. Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I will schedule the stream in advance so that you guys remember as well. And I'll be promoting it on social media. So next up, let's go ahead and get into the women's match. I feel like this was very predictable. It was so predictable that I found myself tuning out. And this was Britt Baker versus the Bunny. Britt Baker wins. She's in the fourth spot. And Hikaru Shida is, you know, going up against Tony, Saraya, Britt Baker. We all knew this was what was going to happen.
Why, Denise? What was this needed? Like, we knew, like, if at minimum you're going to give us this predictable match, at least let the match be worth something. Like, the match wasn't worth something and it was a predictable finish. It just felt like another here damn women's segment. And I can't.
Yeah, I was not a fan of this at all. I was just kind of like, whatever. We know what's going to happen. And it wasn't terrible. It was just super predictable. So with that, you just didn't care. So after this, we ended up having the Acclaimed versus two enhancement talents, except the match never happened because the lights went out. And no, it wasn't Satnam Singh. It was the House of Black. They come out. They attack the Acclaimed. How are you feeling about this? I don't even have anything else to say.
I hate when the shows are like this and it feels like, man, I don't want to be negative about this whole thing, but yo, geez Louise, you guys are slow walking the dog in some of these segments. Like, we're getting to the Acclaimed and House of Black with Billy Gunn back. Like, you're building to a Billy Gunn thing? Is that
what
you
think they're doing it at All In or All Out?
It seems like All In.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot. I'm like, look, we already, well, let's be real. We only have 8 matches right now. Yeah. Lord knows we're going to have way more. Yeah, we got 8 matches already. Wow. And one of them is on the pre-show. Mm-hmm. So a 7 on the main card, 1 on the pre-show.
Okay.
But these are matches. There's some of these that I want to see have like a good, nice, you know, 20 minutes or something, right? I want to see them have some time. And so I don't necessarily feel like I want to see House of Black versus the Acclaimed at All In. Like, that can wait for All Out is what I'm saying.
They should wait for All Out. But I kind of feel like Tony might want to give it up to, like, those legends that, like, we potentially might see Big Show. I don't know. We might see Mark Henry. We might see Billy Gunn. Like, kind of all the people that have been along for the ride and have helped back there. Like, if you can work and can take a bump, come take a bump at our 80,000 people show.
True. Okay, well, anyways, I hope they save this till All Out. All right. Last but not least, the main event, the Young Bucks versus the Guns. Man, So during this, well, first of all, the Bucks win. But afterwards, we see the Bullet Club Golds come out, and they end up attacking the Young Bucks. FTR's music plays, and they don't come out from the front. So, of course, sneak attack from the back. And this is pretty much how we wrap up this show. As we know, we're heading into the Young Bucks versus FTR. Numero tres, what do you think about this?
I'm happy that the match is happening. Wembley's going to be a big show. Big match, Young Bucks and FTR 3. They're going to tear it down. The guns are Baron Corbin heat for me, and it'll never stop. Like I said, if you can't get a good one out of the Young Bucks,
you can't
get a good one out of anybody.
Look, I feel bad here. I feel bad in this situation because you're not wrong. You're not wrong on this one. I found myself not as enthralled as I usually am with the Young Bucks match, but I kind of felt like, I think at this point, I thought it was a me thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was a me thing while watching the show because I felt like there had already been so much that happened during Dynamite where I was still like kind of processing everything else. So we were already on this main event and I'm still thinking about the women's match. I'm still thinking about everything that occurred before that. And so I kind of felt that I couldn't get into this match, but I thought it was a me thing here.
Yeah, no, it felt like, I don't know, something was missing from it. It didn't feel like a big, strong build to the Young Bucks. And FTR, kind of how it ended, it felt like it ended abruptly. The Young Bucks cheated. And I don't know, I didn't like it.
All right, well, there you go. Okay, guys, that is it. That is AEW Dynamite, August 16th. We spent so much talking about so much that went down on today's show.
My world,
yeah. Well, it's the big show. Okay, I don't know what we're doing anymore. I'm done. I don't even know what we're saying anymore. But seriously, before we go and wrap up for today's show, just a friendly reminder to everybody that I will be back here this Saturday to talk about AEW Collision. And the next week's slate of shows are going to look entirely different because I will be in London. I'm leaving Tuesday, guys. Yes. Tuesday evening is my flight out of LA, and I'm leaving to London in a beautiful Reg 10-hour flight, man. My back is gonna be busted.
Oh, man.
Let's pray that I actually sleep on this flight because if not, I'm gonna be all messed up.
Is it an overnight flight or just a regular in the day flight?
It's an overnight flight. I land like the next, I'm gonna be there for 10 hours. Like, I don't know what time it's gonna be in LA when I land, though. That's, it might be like midnight time. I don't know what time it's going to be in LA, but I know it's going to be like 2 right. or something o'clock in London. So I need to get on London time. All right. So
straight up. Good thing you're there for some days before to kind of, so it's not like the show's happening. You're still all groggy. You'll be able to like establish, get there. Hopefully.
Can you imagine? I don't know what it's like. All in that. And I go viral. Yeah. Right.
Imagine, you know, they will not let you live that down. Denise,
sorry, guys. I was jet lagged.
Yeah.
Freaking snoring. Yeah, that did happen to me, by the way. The last time I went to London, I went to go watch Wicked and I was so excited about it, but I was not expecting the jet lag to hit me as hard as it did. You know that sleep when you're like, you can't even hold your own head up and you're going down and there's nothing you can do to stop it. It's just this. Yeah. That's what happened to me the last time I was in London.
At Wicked.
I didn't see any of that play. I cannot tell you what happened in Wicked. Didn't see it. I knocked out, man.
You had some great sleep, at least.
Not really, because I was embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
I kept trying to like move my head. But every time it would go down, I would jolt back up. So it's like this terrible, it's horrible when you're in public and you're that sleepy. Mm-hmm. It's a nightmare. Anyway, so I will be here Saturday for Collision. And then next week's, our shows are going to be looking different. We will be here on Thursday for AEW and also All In Predictions. So that'll be the thing. Reg, plug what you need to plug.
Yeah, you can catch me every Saturday, Grapsity Podcast. We've been calculating the numbers and I think our next show, our show next week is our 100th Grapsity podcast. So that's going to be a really big deal. Announcements are still in the works, just waiting any day. Can't say more, but there's a lot of great stuff coming on. Tomorrow I'll be on the post show of Ring of Honor with Kate. Every Wednesday I'm with Mike on Indeed. I'm also here with Denise. We just had an interview with Michael Oku dropped after the last Grapsody, Phil and I did. So if you want to check that out, definitely go to the FIFO page and check that out. And I'll be here next week in the morning on Thursday. And I'll be like, you sound like you're from London to Denise as soon as she comes on. It's going to be great. I can't wait.
I'm going to be like, hello, everybody. Like, that's not an English accent. Not, oh my gosh. Not at all. I'm going to try to get some tea for the next show. I'm going to have goodies for the next one. Let's be ready for it. I'm going to be in London.
I want to see one of those double-decker buses in the back, Denise. Like, I want to see the whole London experience. Make sure
I'll bring some tea. Mm-hmm. I'll bring it all.
Safe travels, though.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really worried about my back for 10 hours, though, because I do those five-hour flights and they bust me up, man. Yeah. But anyways, Hikaru Shida interview, guys. Check it out. That is my most loved and praised interview that I've had in a long time. So please check it out. Give it some love. Tomorrow I'm dropping the RVD interview, so keep an eye out for it. Also, if you haven't already, do not forget to give us a rating on Spotify or Apple Pods. We officially are at 53. I'm trying to get to 100. So if you guys have time, I do post the links in the description box. And thank you to everybody, because the podcast, they got up, man. We ranked in the top 23. So it was top 23 was where it peaked for the most, like, ever. So that was really huge. So I'm trying to break in and get into that top 10. And we can only do that with your help, with your support. So thank you so much to everybody. And I'll see you guys back here for Saturday Collision. Goodbye, everyone.